Our scripture lesson today comes from the Apostle Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. I'll be reading. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I have found that people love to talk about food. Right? Their favorite, their least favorite. If you ever need a conversation prompter, try this one. Do you know any weird or funny dining practices? There'll be no shortage of stories. The kitchen table seems to be the one place where all of us have some experience. Ask people to relate a curious or strange habit, they'll give you a mouthful, that's for sure. Like the dad, mine, who loves to recite the following. There are two kinds of people in this family, the quick and the hungry. Another verse my dad likes to share, maybe you've heard it before, is, I eat my peas with honey. I've done it all my life. It makes the peas taste funny, but it keeps them on my knife. So, being a dad, keeping up with weird table habits, I've done my best to pass on a few, well, let's call them not strange, but unique eating habits to my children. So when I eat an orange, I eat the peel. Yeah, when I would eat shrimp, yeah, I ate that crunchy tail part too. Yeah, where did I learn such strangeness? From my dad, of course. Here is the exciting news. You know, with three children, the first two I struck out, I swung and missed on that. But my third, oh man, my daughter is starting to take after me. And isn't it great to see important family traditions passed down from generation to generation? And you wonder why she never gets a date. Yes. But before before you never allow the sensational Whitlocks ever to sit near you again at the table, I bet some of you have some strange eating habits too. I say that because I've been watching. Now, I won't mention any names, but I imagine some of you don't like your servings intermingled. They don't like the veggies touching the entree or the potatoes getting too close to the dessert. I know people who will refuse to eat their portions if they get mixed, as if they're going to stay separate. There's probably some folks out there who like to eat their food in certain order. You know, eat all their veggies, then the potatoes, then the entree. There are some in my family who want to, well, eat dessert first. The thought, think of the people on the Titanic who were eating salad, you know, iceberg lettuce. When they hit the iceberg, not the leafy one, but the frozen one, the people who didn't eat dessert first never got dessert. And that sure is a sinking feeling, isn't it? Yes. maybe you can remember the days of your childhood smuggling unwanted food, the dreaded lima beans, the mushy peas, grandma's rock-hard biscuits, to your friendly, furry pet. And then smiling innocently as a parent applauded your clean plate. The kitchen table of Wendy's childhood had a small shelf that ran underneath the tabletop. Underneath it, so it was unnoticeable to adults, but to little ones with little fingers who put those little fingers everywhere and don't think about a second where those little fingers have been or where they'll be, that little lip of a shelf provided an excellent place to hide the vegetables that seemed impossible for her mouth, as well as her young mind, to swallow. She got away with her trickery for years. She just got caught when her parents moved this summer. What I have found is everyone has a kitchen table story, because everyone has a history at the table, whether yours was a campfire in the jungle, a breakfast bar in the kitchen, a culinary castle in Manhattan. You learned early that at the table, your basic needs were supplied. A garage is optional. A living room is negotiable. An office is a luxury. But a kitchen table, that's absolutely essential in any home. Every house has a place where you eat, even if it's in front of the TV at the coffee table. Every house has a place where you can eat, even the house of God. Or maybe I should say, perhaps I should say, especially the house of God. There is a kitchen table in God's house. Let's journey to its embrace. One thing I notice about God's table is that it's long. It includes people who look like us, act like us, think like us. It includes people that are different than us in appearance, in behavior, in thinking, in culture, in faith practices. At our tables, we invite our family, our friends, the neighbors. The table of God in God's house includes places for everyone, including the people you and I would never, ever, ever invite, our enemies, those whose sins we cringe at. God's table is where all of us find acceptance, even you and I. Have you been at a meal when there isn't enough room around the table for every person, maybe a family gathering or friends, and what happens is the people with the least amount of power get sent to, usually the kids, get sent to the kids' table? Ever been sent to the kids' table? You know, parents get kind of nervous that, well, little Billy is gonna do something like burp or make some other sounds that are gonna be embarrassing to the adults, so we'll send him to the kids' table. Now, I never liked that, and our kitchen table fits eight, but often we have more than that. And what happens when we have more than that, more people than spaces at the kitchen table, one of two things happens. Even though there is not enough room for 9 or 10 people, we cram them in anyway. Or we set up more than one table, and people can sit where they want to. It's a mixture of young and old together. And since the kids go first, they can choose where they want to sit. I believe we can learn a great deal about people by observing the way they eat. One father tells a story about sitting around the kitchen table with his family. He sat a plate in front of both of his daughters. In the center of the table, there were vegetables and fruit and some Oreo cookies. Every day, he explained, every day God prepares for us a plate of experiences. What kind of plate do you most enjoy? Well, the answer was obvious and easy. Sarah put 3 Oreo cookies on her plate. Some days are like that, he said, aren't they? Some days are 3 cookie days. many are not. Sometimes our plate has nothing but the veggies that you and I don't like. The ones that make you gag a little bit. The ones like beets that invade all of the other food on their table. Apparently, God knows we need some strength. And though the portion may be hard to swallow, it's for our own good. Most days, however, have a little bit of all, some vegetables and fruit that are healthy, and even an Oreo, which does little for our nutrition, but a whole lot for our attitude. All are important, all are from God. The next time your plate has more broccoli than apple pie, remember who prepared the meal. The next time your plate in life has a portion that, well, you just find hard to swallow, don't hide it under the table or give it to the family dog. Give it to God. Talk about it with God. That's what Jesus did. He set the example. Talk to God about it. In the Garden of Gethsemane, God handed him a cup so sour, so vile that, well, Jesus just handed it right back. Well, isn't that what he did? He prayed Abba, which means more than father, it means daddy. He prayed Abba. If it's possible, take the cup away. Even Jesus found a portion in life he found hard to swallow. But with God's help, he did. And with God's help in our lives, with the support of the community of faith, we can too. The table of God is abundant. The table of God is long. It wraps around the entire world. The chairs are many and the food is ample. And at this table, God and this church, we reserve the right to accept everyone. All of God's children are invited, are welcomed, are included. You don't need to act a certain way. You don't need to pretend to be a certain way. You don't need to be who your family thinks you are or what they want you to be. You get to come as yourself, and I get to come as myself, and we come together, and when we do, something holy happens. Even with all our weird habits and cultural customs, something holy happens. There's a grace that flows. There's a spirit that enlivens. There's a hope for the hopeless. There is courage for the downtrodden. There are people this day who are celebrating in grand cathedrals, in simple huts, in storefronts, in country churches throughout this nation and around the world. The world is gathering to celebrate God's invitation to the kitchen table, where we all have a place, where our place is reserved and everyone is accepted. How appropriate then that we have gathered as sisters and brothers around God's kitchen table in God's house this day. Thanks be to God. Amen.